work together, and the camaraderie that they enjoyed. Some of the jobs that they were doing, they were hard work, but it was exciting, and it was outdoors, and they had a lot of fun at it. While the women were isolated in their homes, trying to keep wood stoves burning and get all of those enormous piles of clothes dried behind the stove because it was too cold or something to hang them outdoors. And they became weary of it because they didn't have the social activities that they were accustomed to. They were often separated from their families. Sometimes they came from a different background and did not have interest in what their neighbors may have an interest in. So quite often the women would become dissatisfied. So we went into this time when people would come and stay a couple of years and then they'd move on to the mainland. This was something that continued until the last years of operation, long after we were gone. They were down to the man who was the caretaker, general takeover person, and one other couple, and it seemed like a different couple every year. Mm-hmm. We had one family that had lived there in the 1940s, and they had moved away to Illinois, and they decided to come back during that period of time. And that we think they had the shortest stay, didn't they, George? That the family that we're talking about, they arrived, they talked with the man about the conditions on the island. They said, don't unload my household goods, we're not staying. So that set a record. We had others that would stay less than a year, or they had others that would stay less than a year. Well, I've taken more time here than I thought. But there are two things that I would like to talk about, and I would like to ask your interest if you have an interest in these two points. One of the things is the Leland School District owns an acre of land where the first school was established. And the first school on the island was established when Nels Carlson was there. It was in 1895, and they built a log schoolhouse that would accommodate 36 students. And they had a school that cost $150 to build a school, and they had $150 school debt. And Nels Carlson was named the director. I couldn't pin down exactly what that position would mean as to today, but I'm assuming it would be like president of the school board. That land for that school was donated by the Patshaw family, the people here tonight that are related to the Patshaws. The Leland School District still owns that acre of land. It would be a wonderful learning center for students to study ecology, the general environment, natural history, or just the history of the island. And many of the students in Leland and surrounding areas have pioneer roots, family roots that go back to the earliest days on North Manitou. If you have an interest in seeing your Leland School District do something about that, talk to them. They could do it. It's easily located. It's only about 3/4 of a mile from the Park Service dock. It's a beautiful piece of land. It would be easily accessible. And it's amazing to me how many people who live in Leland know absolutely nothing about North Manitou Island. And there's a good reason for that. The Manitou Island Association, after they took over in the 30s, as I said, it became more or less a company town. So you didn't come to the island unless you were an invited guest, or you came there to pick cherries, or you came there as an employee, or the guest of someone who already lived there. It was inaccessible for the general public for the most part for about 50 years. When the park took over in 1979, there was another period from 79 until 84 when the park did not open it to the general public. So you have a full 50 years when it was just totally off limits unless you had an island connection. So that's why not many people in Leland and the surrounding area are at all familiar with the island. This would be a way, if the school used that, would make them all aware. The other point is the building used was once known as the boathouse, the life-saving station boathouse. It was built in 1881. I do have some photographs here, and if we could just pass it around, I think it might. All right. But that building is presently being used, as I'd mentioned before, for staff, and they do have to have a location for staff. This is the one that we really want to see preserved, restored to its original construction, and used for access by the public. The buildings that the park has worked on so far have just been for park use because they had to be remodeled and used for that purpose. But this building would be ideal, and it, as I say, it's the most historic building on the island. That's the future of the island that I would hope for, and the schools. I guess that's all I could bring. I can bring this to a close. I've been over about 10 minutes more than I expected. But if you have questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. I can't believe I have you so fully informed.
Rita, who should we write to, our senator or representative?
No, write to Superintendent Ivan Miller in the Empire office. I think you'll find, he is aware that I am making this pitch here tonight. I told him that that's the two buildings that I was making the pitch for. I've added a third. But it would really enhance that the history of the island should not be ignored. And so far it has been ignored. Nothing has been done to preserve the history of those buildings or the people. So if you're interested in that, write to him, ask his cooperation, let him know your interest. And I think he would be receptive. I can't guarantee you that it will be done. I did find him a receptive person, and I think he would be open to listening to any suggestions. It would be a beginning. But it's you people who have deep roots that go back way, way beyond mine who should make your voice heard.
What were the greatest number of people that lived on the island, and what year would that have been?
I haven't touched on Crescent City. I skipped over it because I guess I was running out of time. During 1907 to 1915, Crescent City had about 200 people there, and there were about 100 plus on the east side of the island. So about 300 people in that period of 1907 until 1915. And during the Crescent era, there was a sawmill, the A.J. White sawmill, which employed a great number of men. There was the Manitou Limited, the train that brought the logs in. There was originally, as Esther White has told me, a building used as a saloon. It was later used as a school. And then they used it as a church. So all the things on the island get a lot of use for different purposes. But that would have been about the peak. The 1860 figure of 270 was the previous peak. But that dwindled in 1860, it dwindled in 1870, it sort of stabilized in 80, then it would fluctuate. But I would say the greatest number steadily would have been that 1915. I'm getting my dates wrong.
Do you know if there are any records of the ships that visited the island in the early years?
That went to the island?
That went to the island, 1850 to 1860. Era, and
yes, there are ships. There is a ship list. There's a young man whose family have a summer home on the island, the Hollister family, and he and his mother are collaborating on writing some things about the ships, not only shipwrecks but other ships that call there. I think if you contact the college, university, even Grand Rapids, Grand Traverse, that you will find some lists and things that will. I know the SS Illinois. I have furniture that's marked with SS Illinois shipping dates. I know the Missouri came there, and that would have been in that late around the 1890 period.
Puritan and Manitou also.
Yes, the Puritan and Manitou were steady visitors to the island.
What years are you talking about?
Well, the Puritan was coming there, and I believe starting in the 1893, that period where the resort era. I think you can find ships records that will give you that information, ships list. I would just check with your library. Do you live in Leland? Do you live in?
Well, I used to, but Burton Historical Library in Detroit has the Mackinac records from Mackinac Island.
Well, I would think if Burton, I would check with Burton, and I would check with any library, a good-sized city in Michigan. I was amazed at the information that's available at the Mark Osterlund Library in Traverse City. Their microfilm and other records is real, and it's quite accessible. They're very helpful there.
How about the hurry bag?
The hurry bag, the famous hurry bag that didn't. There's a long, lengthy story in the book about the hurry bag, which had been a sailboat that was converted to a gas engine. And I believe it was 8 or 9 days that it was lost on Lake Michigan, and it wound up with four people on board at Detroit Island, way over on the Wisconsin shore. They'd lost all power, and they were simply at the mercy of Lake Michigan, and wound up there on a small island. And there's a lengthy story told by Enos Swanson, who was a 10-year-old boy, and he and his father and another couple were the four people on board that boat. And it's too lengthy for me to go into here. Yes?
Rita, there are a lot of people here tonight who have lived on the island.
Well, I think
particularly back families in the island. My father and my sister are buried on the island. We took a trip the other day, and it was great. It was the nicest tour. I think there were 14 of us.
Yes, I met with some of the people that day.
There's a lot of people right here that give you all kinds of...
That's what I say. There are more people. There are people here that know a lot more about the island going back way before I went there. I have about 50 years, but some of them have longer than that. Not that they're older than I. They just have better memories. The cemetery is another point that those of you who have a family buried there, you know you have a claim to the cemetery. And the cemetery, with the help of volunteers, did put posts up, which those of you went there saw, but they have not put pickets or anything surrounding it. We think it would be nice if that were done, because it would define it as a true cemetery, because before the posts were there, people would camp there because they didn't recognize it as a cemetery, because some of the markings had fallen over. Yes?
You got there 2 years after I moved from there.
It was originally owned by Johnson. Peter Johnson. He owned two lots, which is south of the school, just north of the Cunningham place. And I believe it was originally part of the Swenson property. There were 32 separate negotiations or handlings of that property before it came to me. And my husband bought that property for me as the most wonderful gift I've ever received. And he bought it from Tracy Grosvenor as a surprise for me. And Tracy owned the other lot, and we took the southmost lot. And George then owned that lot, which is now part of the park. So if you're familiar with where the school was located, we're about...
That's where I started school.
Beg your pardon?
That's where I started school.
You started school there. May I ask your name?
I'm Lorraine Edler.
Egler. Yes, I remember the Egler name and many documents that I've seen over the time. In fact, I met a young man on the beach the other day that's made me want to start going back to research. He told me that a fifth generation back grandmother was born on the island in 1839. And their name was Burfiend. And I mentioned this to some of the Kolensky Anderson Oyen group, and they had a family connection. Do you recall that, Mary, that someone had a connection with that family? So everything on the island seems to go full circle, unless you come from Texas, and then you don't have any relatives up here. If there are no other questions, I guess we have... yes, Bill.
I have to say something. I think it's wonderful. The book is absolutely marvelous.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Taken something like this to get the interest back up in the island again, and all the people that are here that have roots that go back to North Manhattan too. The interest has been rekindled simply, and I shouldn't say simply, because of your work.
Well, thank you.
And it could continue on from this point on. I'm sure there's plenty of interest for that.
Well, we hope to save it. I have collected about 350 photographs, and if my energy holds, my next project, and it's not a commercial project, and of course the book wasn't a commercial project, we'll find out someday if it ever was, but right now it was just fun to do. But I hope to put those photographs in some type of strip film or videotape or something of that sort, and add as much, there will be a voiceover, but I have a... young woman friend who has a good speaking voice, and she will do the narration, and I will provide whatever historical data that we have to go with it. And I think that then can become available if something happened like the Leland School District did something with that area that they own. That would be a tool that would show what was once there in a way that I think school-age students could maybe get more from than just listening to the dry words. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing more, then I guess we've concluded.
I'll ask you, we have a guest register in the back, and I'll ask all of you to put your name and addresses down there just to indicate your interest in North Manhattan Island, and perhaps sometime there would be some use we could make of that in advocating some of the historic preservation work that needs to be done out there. It's right back in the back corner. Thank you all. There's copies of Rita's book available here, and I'm sure she will be here to answer your questions and visit more.
I do have some photographs here. Someone had asked of a photo of the Nearland home. I do have one, and this is the boathouse we're hoping to save. We'll put these on a table, and people can just look.